Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy discussions with Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox on various topics related to nature spirituality. Tonight's podcast is an encore presentation from 2012, where Selena discussed ways of celebrating the daily and yearly cycles of the sun and the seasons, and working with personal and group sun rituals.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore the realm of sun magic and sun circles. Let's begin by focusing on images that each of us have of the sun. If you close your eyes, if you can safely do so wherever you are, call to mind what's connected with the sun for you? Shapes, colors, creatures, stones, trees, plants, deities. Within each of us, we have our own symbol array that can connect us with the sun. And I'm hoping tonight, as we explore different dimensions of the sun, including solar rhythms, that you will be able to weave into your own connections with the sun some additional ways of attuning and connecting. One of the ways that I like to do sun work is to go to a place where I am in view of the rising or setting sun. And as you open your eyes and look about you now, notice any sunlight or sun images that might be in your location. Where I am right now, the sun is preparing to set. And because of that, I'd like to share with you a simple setting sun chant. And I invite you to join in, if you wish, as I do it several times. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun. Sacred sun, we honor you. We connect with you. We celebrate you in your rhythms of the day, in your rhythms of the year, in your rhythms of life. Come, teach us, guide us, bless us with your power, your beauty, your wisdom, your strength, your vitality tonight and in days and nights to come. So mote it be. Many people work with the sun in ritual through the connection and invocation of a particular sacred form. In some traditions of contemporary paganism and other forms of nature religion, the sun is identified as a god form. But in some others, the sun takes the form of a goddess. And in some, including the Circle Craft tradition, welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore the realm of sun magic and sun circles. Let's begin by focusing on images that each of us have of the sun. So you close your eyes, if you can safely do so wherever you are, call to mind what's connected with the sun for you. Shapes, colors, creatures, stones, trees, plants, deities. Within each of us, we have our own symbol array that can connect us with the sun. And I'm hoping tonight, as we explore different dimensions of the sun, including solar rhythms, that you will be able to weave into your own connections with the sun some additional ways of attuning and connecting. One of the ways that I like to do sun work is to go to a place where I am in view of the rising or setting sun. And as you open your eyes and look about you now, notice any sunlight or sun images that might be in your location. Where I am right now, the sun is preparing to set. And because of that, I'd like to share with you a simple setting sun chant. And I invite you to join in, if you wish, as I do it several times. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun, setting sun, day is done, night to come. Sacred sun. Sacred sun, we honor you. We connect with you. We celebrate you in your rhythms of the day, in your rhythms of the year, in your rhythms of life. Come, teach us, guide us, bless us with your power, your beauty, your wisdom, your strength, your vitality tonight and in days and nights to come. So mote it be. Many people work with the sun in ritual through the connection and invocation of a particular sacred form. In some traditions of contemporary paganism and other forms of nature religion, the sun is identified as a god form. But in some others, the sun takes the form of a goddess. And in some, including the Circle Craft tradition, it has both a male dimension and a female dimension and a dimension that transcends gender. What are some of the god forms that one may connect with in working with the sacred sun? God forms go across a variety of different cultures. Perhaps the most common name for a god form is the more universalist sun god. But in some cultures, the sun god has very specific names. Among the Romans and the Greeks, Apollo was revered as a god of the sun and was depicted in lore and in iconic imagery as riding across the sky in a chariot, the sun chariot. Another form of the sun god is Sol. In fact, Sol, S-O-L, from the Latin meaning sun, is embodied in the name solstice, which is summer solstice, winter solstice, part of the rhythm of the sun during the course of the year. Amongst the ancient Egyptians, Ra was a form of the sun god that was revered there. Some Native American traditions call on the sun god as father sun. So those are some examples of a god form connected with the sun. But there are sun goddesses as well in different parts of the world. One of her names, Brige or Bridget or Bride, amongst Celtic peoples, she was associated not only with sacred fire and sacred water, but with the sacred sun and with a sacred tree connected with the sun, the oak. Libertas, amongst the Romans, the goddess of freedom, often was depicted with a sunburst around her head or carrying a torch. Lady Liberty in the United States, and now she indeed has become a multicultural, international, interreligious goddess, is typically pictured with both rays coming out of her crown, the sun, and holding a torch of light. In Japan, Amaterasu, the sun goddess, is honored. So in addition to looking at the sun god and the sun goddess, you can work with the sun as sun spirit or the sacred sun. And I typically do some work with sacred sun at our annual morning summer solstice ritual, which I do each year at the Pagan Spirit Gathering, which is a week-long celebration of summer solstice. And I use both sun goddess names and sun god names during different parts of the ritual, but underlying it, I typically use sacred sun because I have pagans and others from a variety of different traditions that are taking part that relate to the sacred sun in a variety of different ways from each other. Another thing that one can look at in one's ritual work are symbols that represent the sun. Certainly one of the most common symbols is that of a glowing disc, or a disc with sun rays or star points coming out of it, representing the sun. But there are some additional symbols that can be worked with. You can look at different types of plants, such as the sunflower. You can look at some kinds of stones, sacred stones to work with. Sunstone is one that's named because of its connection with the sun. Some people use the form of quartz crystal known as citrine as a kind of sunstone. In addition to plants and stones and deities, one can look at creatures. And a variety of different creatures have been linked with the sun. Cats, horses drawing chariots across the sky, eagles, hawks, great birds that fly high in the sky and are seen as messengers to sacred ones. In looking at sun lore, the sun might appear as a young child in connection with winter solstice rites. That young child is a baby representing the newborn sun. And in popular culture in America, one of the forms that that has taken over the last several decades is the image of Baby New Year. Yes, that's representing the calendar year shift, but essentially that Baby New Year really is a kind of sun baby as well, because our calendar year and our winter solstice time pretty much parallel each other in the U.S. of A. and other parts of the Northern Hemisphere. So we look at some of the different ways that we can connect with the sun. We can have the sun as a vibrant youth. We can have the sun as a mature adult. And yes, sometimes the sun takes the form of a wise one, an elder, wisdom bringer. When we look at the rhythms of the sun and the circle craft tradition, there are three types of rhythm. There is the daily rhythm, the daily cycle of the sun. And rituals can be done at each of the points of the daily rhythm, which typically have four facets. The rising of the sun, dawn. The sun at midday. The setting sun. And the sun not visible. The mystery sun, midnight. For sunrise and sunset rituals, a common practice is to sit, not looking directly at the sun, but sit in a place where it is noticeable of the change in the lighting. This can be at sunrise, taking the form of the first light vigil, being up all night to greet the dawn. Dawn actually is a process. I see it as starting with first light, also known as daybreak, when it first becomes apparent that the darkness of the nighttime starts fading and the light of the sun first becomes apparent on the eastern horizon. In the next phase of the sunrise, the colors of dawn create this beautiful light show in the eastern sky. And as someone that greets the dawn nearly every day, I can tell you that whether it's clear or cloudy, regardless of precipitation, that dawning of the light has beautiful colors and shades of light. As the orb of the sun appears to rise up over the horizon, or if it's a partly cloudy, partly sunny kind of day, first starting to make appearance above a cloud bank, you shift from the colors of the dawning of the light and the subtle monotone hues of daybreak into a golden brilliance. And at the final stage, sunup, the golden sky changes into the light blue of morning. So being able to experience the sunrise, not just at a point, but as a process, is a really powerful way of being able to attune to the sun and to enhance spiritual practice. Some of the rituals that I have developed over the years and taught to others involving sunrise include doing a visual for that first light of the day. And this can happen after an all-night vigil, or you can go an hour before daybreak, sit in a comfortable position, face the eastern part of the sky where you're at. If you need to, because nighttime can be cold and damp in some places, you might want to have a cloak or a blanket to have with you to aid you in your first light vigil. Be centered. Do deep, slow, relaxed breathing. Close your eyes for a few moments to connect with the night, listening to the nighttime sounds, attuning to the night, its mystery, beauty, and power, giving thanks to the night, And then with your eyes open, look at the eastern horizon. Keep watch for the first signs of light of the dawn. Listen to the changes in the sounds and other sensations as daybreak approaches. Sharpen your senses. Experience anticipation. And then when daybreak comes, stand up, stretch out your arms to greet the first light of the day. Experience the magic of a new day dawning. Feel the power of rebirth within you and around you. Speak a prayer. Do an affirmation. Do some other kind of blessing on the day for yourself and or for others. And then when you sense it's time to end your rite, conclude by giving thanks for being alive and for the day. Some other things that can be done at sunrise and also can be adapted for the other part of the sun cycle of the day, the sunset, is to take a walk as the sun is rising or the sun is setting. One of the things that I like to do as one of my sun rituals is to take some pictures of the colorful sunsets and sunrises. Certainly one has to be careful in doing photography and capturing the sun in the camera, not to damage your eyes. And there are lenses, polarizing lenses, and a variety of different things that you can work with photographically to keep that process safe. But one of the wonderful things about having photography as part of a way of deepening your connection with the sun, it heightens your awareness of the change in light and the change of colors. And it's a very creative thing to be doing as you're interfacing with the changes of the sun. Welcoming the rising sun, welcoming the noonday sun or the midday sun, welcoming the setting sun, and yes, in the middle of the night when there is no visible sun, you connect with the mystery of the sun as one looks at the stars in the sky. For then you connect with the sun that is starlight. For looking up in the night sky, many of those stars that you see are indeed suns, distant from Earth, but still a kind of sun. One of the things that's valuable in doing daily sun rituals, it strengthens your connection with the solar rhythm, and it gives you an easy way to weave in an attunement to nature in your day. Greeting the day, whether it's at dawn or not, at the start of your day, if you're on a cycle where you wake up as the sun is rising or has been risen, and then in the middle of the day, taking a midday break, often it's a lunch break, taking a walk, or just spending a few moments experiencing the sun at midday strength. And then at the end of the day, wrapping up the day and going into the night, winding down from the activity part of your day into the evening part. Certainly, you will need to adapt whatever sun rituals you do on a daily basis to mesh that with your own biorhythms and the rhythms of schooling and or job and or neighborhood of environment. But there's certainly much value in doing some form of sun ritual on a daily basis. Doesn't have to be long. A short one is a great way to strengthen your connection with the sun. Another form of sun cycle and sun rhythm is that of the wheel of the year. The winter solstice beginning the solar year, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, at the midpoint, and back to winter solstice again. Some traditions of paganism emphasize just the solstices. Some emphasize the solstices and the equinoxes. Others focus on the midpoint between the height of each of the four seasons. Sometimes these are known as the Celtic fire festivals. In the circle craft tradition, we work with all eight. And as we work with those eight, we celebrate each of those holidays and its connection with what is happening with nature in our own environment. Here in the northlands of the U.S. and Wisconsin, our winter solstice celebration typically has cold weather and snow. We celebrate the birth of the sun and link that in with a whole range of celebrations and a time of renewal and peace. Then, at the middle part of winter, Imbolc, we notice at that time that the waxing of the daylight is really apparent. And we celebrate Imbolc and connect with the Celtic goddess Breege. Then at equinox time, the festival of Ostara. Equal days, equal nights, rebirth of vegetation, the springtime. In Wisconsin, we call it the Welcome Spring Festival because we can never know from year to year whether we're going to actually start seeing green grass appearing on the ground or if we're going to be still dealing with snow. At the middle part of Beltane is Beltane, the middle part of the spring season, and there we celebrate the flowering of life. Then at summer solstice, we not only celebrate the beginning of summer, but this is a time of solstice point and connecting with global awareness, just as with winter solstice, the other solstice. Certainly, one can do ceremonies for peace on earth throughout the year, and that's wonderful. But we do some very special workings at both winter solstice and summer solstice. And in doing that globally, we acknowledge that as we're celebrating summer solstice, half the planet has the winter solstice. And same with Yuletide and winter solstice, half the planet is celebrating summer solstice. At the high point of summer, we have a festival at Circle Sanctuary that we call the Green Spirit Festival, but many people call it Lammas or Lugnasa, beginning of the harvest. And then we go to the beginning of fall, the Abundant Harvest Festival. And at this time, we also have equal days and equal nights. And as we move to Samhain, which in the circle craft tradition is the end of the harvest festivals, but it's also our new year, we recognize that the days are getting shorter and shorter, and we move into the darkest part of the year, moving into the womb, the cauldron of possibilities, for the birth of the sun at winter solstice again, and the calendar year. So following the rhythm of the year in this way, you not only can notice the difference in the lengths of the day and lengths of the night at each of these eight Sabbaths, but one of the things that I make a point of doing is paying attention in my daily sunrise rituals where the sun is rising on each day along the horizon, for the sun does move. And the solstice point, it does not appear to move for about 4 days in a row. And that's how the name solstice came to be. It's from the Latin, solstice, sun, stand still. Well, the third of the sun circles, the sun cycles, is that of life. And one of my most favorite things to do in looking at the sun and life is to have rituals connected with one's birthday. For as we go through our life journey, we return each year to our birthday, and we can call to mind our past, reflect on our present, and look ahead to the future. Some of the ways to celebrate one's birthday, which is a solar return of sorts, is to write something about your life. You could write a letter to yourself. You could write a letter to yourself about yourself. You could write about what your life is like at that particular period in your time, or you could reflect back on where you have been and where you are now and your visions of the future. The idea of doing some journaling or some writing on your birthday connects you with not only where you've been, but it can help you process that and aid you in divining where to go. Another thing that you can do as part of this third type of sun circle is to do some divination. And you may use something such as a tarot deck and draw a card for guidance about your past, a card for guidance about your present, and a third card, guidance about your future. And, of course, another common way of celebrating birthdays is with a candle or multiple candles. And that brings me to something that connects all three types of sun rituals and cycles together, which is that of the use of fire and light. So whether you're kindling a candle flame, or the battery-operated candle, or you have a hearth fire, or a campfire, or a blazing bonfire. Fire, since ancient times and across cultures, has been connected with celebrating the sun. Indeed, the sun itself is seen to be blazing, mythically and actually. And by having fire in safe and magical ways, it can deepen our approach to connecting with the sun and focusing our intention and our attention. One of the things that we do every year at summer solstice time, at our very opening ritual of the Pagan Spirit Gathering, which brings people from across the U.S. and other parts of the world, many different pagan traditions, age groups, walks of life, much diversity converging. One of the things that we do every year in our opening ritual is we process with fire, live flames, usually the form of a candle lit within a candle lantern, or a candle put in a jar with some dirt or sand in the bottom. And as we process to our ritual place, hundreds of pagans each carrying their light, we have our individual light that we are carrying to light our way, representing our own life force and spirit. But together, we form a beautiful ribbon of light as we circle and spiral into our ritual circle. And at the culmination of our ritual, we kindle a fire, a sacred solar fire that we keep burning for the entire duration of our gathering. And that is a tradition that was inspired by the old solstice celebrations, sometimes known in more recent centuries as St. John's celebrations or midsummer celebrations from the Baltic areas. It was the idea of processing with fire and kindling a grand fire was passed on to me by a man who studied with me back in the 1970s and was part of Circle Sanctuary in its earliest days, Carlos Berzins. And every year as we do that ceremony, it comes to my mind how paganism, capital P, is not only made up of what we are doing in the here and now, but it's a way of weaving together timeless, ancient ways of connecting with the sacred sun and creating traditions that can last into the future. Where do you begin to do your own type of sun magic, sun rituals? Look not only to your own experience, but look into your own ancestral traditions. Ancestral from what ethnic roots you may have, ancestral connected with the place in which you're dwelling or visiting. The sacred sun can guide each of us to not only deepen our understanding of ancient ways of connecting with the sun, but deepen our experience with ways of creating ritual in the here and now. Rituals do not have to be complicated. Whether it is standing with arms raised to greet the sun, whether it is ringing a bell or beating a drum or shaking a rattle as the sun rises or sun sets, whether it is kindling a sacred fire or gazing into a candle flame as one calls upon the sun. Rituals can help us help others, help the planet, and help the larger circle of nature of which we are a part. Blessed be your sun magic. And now in this last part of our evening together, there's an opportunity for you to call in with questions, comments, experiences, about sun magic, about sun cycles and rhythms. call 347-308-8222. That's 347-308-8222. Well, I welcome into our sharing part of the evening David and Jeanette Ewing, and wish you a wonderful solstice time.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jeanette here.
Great to connect.
Yeah, so, you know, listening to that, it kind of brought to mind some of the things that we've done in the past at Circle Sanctuary, at PSG, with the welcoming the sun ritual.
The opening ceremony.
Yeah, the welcoming the, rather it was the welcoming the sun for the morning summer solstice.
The morning sunrise.
That's right. I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but typically at PSG, you typically do on the actual day of the solstice.
Morning ritual.
Yeah, at the crack o' dawn.
Yes, and it depends on where that gathering happens to be located as to how visible the sun is in the morning. But one of the things I like doing with that morning solstice rite is having the diversity of practitioners each calling to the sacred sun by sacred names and sacred forms and symbols according to their own traditions. So I've structured the ceremony in such a way that there are things that we do together, and that's generally when we're using sacred sun together. And then there's also room within the ceremony for people to call very specific sacred sun forms according to their own particular background and spiritual practices. And it's always wonderful to see who comes forth to be able to do that type of sun honoring. I generally have several people who I've talked with in advance, leaders from different traditions, practitioners of a variety of different ways. So in addition to people that are priests and priestesses and other spiritual leaders in different traditions, I have some people that are solitary practitioners as part of it. There's some long-time practitioners as well as some new-time practitioners. Sometimes there's a chant and sometimes there's a poem. Sometimes it's a spontaneous expression of honoring the sun at the moment. Sometimes there's silence. Sometimes there's the beating of a drum according to a particular rhythm, heartbeat rhythm or a fast rhythm. Often we will do some kind of chant together as part of our celebration. So we not only honor the sun, but we have part of that ritual of also celebrating our connection with the planet as a whole and doing planetary healing work. And one of the things that I like to do is to work with some herbs, with some sun connections. Mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris, being one of them. And yes, it's associated with the moon, but it also has these connections with midsummer or summer solstice. And I often will give out acorns that I've harvested from the previous summer to those who are present. We might burn some dried mistletoe in our sacred fire, or burn some mugwort stalks or some other things. And it's wonderful to have a combination of fire, and when the sun is available for us, which often it is, we can see that sun in the sky to celebrate the solstice time in so many different ways, old ways, new ways.
Right, and you know, what's interesting about that particular ritual is that every year it it's a little bit different than the year before. So it, you know, it's sort of in the can, but not really, because no one is going to be doing exactly the same thing every year, calling the same exact deities every year. So it's a nice variety that you get to see. It's a very organic sort of a thing. And so even for the, you know, the solitary practitioner, you know, even, let's see, I think this year the summer solstice is going to be on the Wednesday,
the 20th. Correct. June 20th,
right. So,
2012.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, for that one this year, you know, since it's in the middle of the week, you know, people aren't necessarily going to be able to, you know, do a big fancy ritual that day. Doing something as simple as lighting, I don't know, a yellow or orange candle or something in the morning and having something, you know, short and simple, but it's, you know, a good way to actually honor the sun on that particular day. Like you were saying before, you don't have to do anything super fancy or intricate to do something to honor the sun.
That's right. And there's a lot of different qualities associated with the sun that one can work with in one's own personal practice. The idea of success. The idea of vitality. Prosperity. Illumination. Wisdom. Joy. One of the things that I have worked with some clients in my psychotherapy and spiritual counseling practice is to guide a sunshine meditation for people who are struggling to overcome and dispel depression, and actually have them envision being under the sun, calling rays of the sun into oneself, starting to experience oneself being identified with the sun and being like a sun and radiating like a sun. And that solar imagery is not only something that's very commonplace, certainly in some of the research with art therapy and developmental psychology, it's seen that young humans, as they start making scribbles and shapes, one of the first things they do is circular kinds of imagery work and creating suns. You look at some of the, you know, youngest child art, chances are there's going to be a big circle with rays coming out or some other kind of sun image. So it's something very primal in that regard. And being able to tap into the experience of a really prominent mythic image that's also very real in our life, and having an identification with it that's uplifting and joyful is not only creatively stimulating, but can help lift the spirits. Another herb that some people work with in connection with the sun is lemon balm, which is Melissa officinalis, and it's called officinalis because it actually was used in herbal medicine for centuries and centuries, and it's said not only to enhance one's vitality, but it also has been linked with helping to lift the spirits, and it has a wonderful lemony fragrance, and it needs at least part sun to really do well and thrive. And I do think that these kinds of rituals that we can do that have a solar theme can not only be therapeutic for us personally, but by doing that kind of work and practice in our own life, when we take part in group ceremonies, that strength of connection, we bring that to group ceremonies, and it's more than the sum of the parts. There's a synergy when you have people that have had connections with the sun all joining together. So going back to what you talked about with the pagan spirit gathering solstice morning ritual that I facilitate every year, there are surprises. There are some similarities in terms of our structure, but built into that ceremony are spontaneous expressions of honoring the sun.
Yeah, and it, you know, becomes something that is, you know, very unique for each, you know, individual situation. It's, you know, that's one of the cool things about doing stuff in group ritual. You've talked about it some, not terribly a lot, that there is, you know, that adds another layer of complexity to the dynamic of any type of ritual that you do to when you do things in a group, because from one year to the next, the same, you know, the dynamic is going to change every year, and it does make the experience rather interesting and unique year to year. We've done a sun honoring ritual. Sometimes we've done it on the solstice. Sometimes it's actually in July when the sun is actually
a lot higher
and more actually more intense in the sky down where we live. And, you know, every year it's been a little bit different because of the people that happen to be there in ritual. Or we'll tweak it and switch it up some depending on whether it's a smaller group of people that we know really well or a larger group. And one of the things that we've done, you know, one of the things that we've done for the sun honoring ritual is we have little mirrors. And each person goes into the center of the circle, and we actually, you know, they have to close their eyes so they don't go blind, but we use the little mirrors to focus the energy, the sun's energy, on the person. And it's a very, you know, energizing experience for people, you know, actually physically using the sun as a tool to energize people.
That's really wonderful. And certainly something that one can do with sunlight is to take a particular piece of jewelry or a ceremonial tool and set it in a window or set it outside in a secure location where it gets exposed to sunlight. Some people like to cleanse their crystals that way or energize their crystals that way. Another ritual that we've had some practitioners do is to kindle a bonfire using a lens and some very dry kindling to kindle the fire in some old ways, and sometimes it's with a mirror. You know, this year we have the Summer Olympics, and one of the things that goes back to the ancient past is this whole idea of kindling the torch, the Olympic torch or a sacred flame from the sun. And they have mirrors that they use to kindle the Olympic torch. It is sun kindled. And I think it's amazing that that solar torch then goes on a long journey to different places, and because it's going to be in London in 2012, one of the real wonderful things that got woven in is actually going by Stonehenge as part of the route for leading up to the Olympics. I'm wondering if there's been any comments in the chat or any other things that may want to be communicated before we conclude tonight.
Well, there was somebody who mentioned that their mother was born on the summer solstice. So they celebrated the summer solstice and the birthday at the same time.
Oh, that's great. Well, and certainly Father's Day in the USA happens very close to solstice. And in that sense is a kind of solar holiday for some. Another holiday that's celebrated in America is Independence Day, our 4th of July. If you go back in time and look at the history, you will learn that the founders of the USA met around solstice time. And while it took until July 4th to have that declaration put together, some of the ways of celebrating that freedom and that birthing of America that we continue on today, fireworks, campfires, cookouts, it's getting out and enjoying the summer. So I actually see that a bit of that freedom celebration in the USA has some of its roots going back to old summer solstice practices of that time of year. Whether that was intentional or not, I see some real parallels.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, there is, because there seems to be this whole, all of these secularized type of activities that are all fire related, that all happen to be in the summertime, where otherwise it's a hot time of the year. So it is sort of, you know, unusual for you to be having bonfires and things, and campouts and things, but people do.
Yeah, well, and I think however one celebrates the beginning of summer, and for our listeners who are in the other part of the world, the Southern Hemisphere, I want to wish you all good winter solstice, and those of us in the Northern Hemisphere a good summer solstice. So however you're celebrating solstice time, may the sun bless you with vitality, good fortune, joy, love, and peace. I'd like to close out our show tonight with a solstice chant that I wrote a number of years ago. And it has a summer solstice version and a winter solstice version. And it has to do with the lengthening of the days or the shortening of the days, depending on which it is. Solstice sun shining bright, longest day, shortest night. That's the summer version. Solstice sun shining bright, shortest day, longest night. And then I wrote a second verse to this. Solstice sun of hope and cheer, peace on earth throughout the year. For I really see whether we're celebrating summer or winter solstice time, a lot of people focus intention at this time on this planet, and why not take that intention and that energy, join with it, and to hold in our mind the possibility and the vision of us having a peaceful, harmonious, healthy planet. Sun magic blessings to all of you. Have a wonderful solstice. And next week, I will be at the Pagan Spirit Gathering, and our show will be at Solstice Eve and the Dark Moon. So what a wonderful time to connect. So thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to David and Jeanette. Thanks to Gabe, who is creating podcasts from each of these shows up at the Circle Podcast site, www.circlesanctuary.org. And it takes you right to our main page, and you'll follow the link. And all of our shows with the Circle Craft theme are getting archived there. So if you would like to go back and hear some of the other shows again or those that you've missed, feel free to go and connect there. Have a great night.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.